Congregation, let us rise to worship our Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Once again, it's my privilege to greet you all this afternoon, especially the visitors in our midst, and I do that in Christian manner. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Let us then sing together to his praise from hymn 62, the verses 1 and 2. Let us then, together with the Church of all ages, confess our undoubted Catholic Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. We'll do that by singing together hymn 1A.
Jesus Christ, his Son, we be God's son.
Let us come before our Lord in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of rest, a day of worship. We thank you that we can, in all freedom, once again come together as brothers and sisters to praise your great and holy name and to join our praises to those of departed saints and angels around your throne room in the heavens. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed receive our worship, not because it is so good in and of itself, but because of your promise to be a God to us and to our children. We thank you, Lord, that we can have that living relationship with you, and we pray that that would only be strengthened again this afternoon as we sing your praises and you speak to us in your holy word. Bless the exposition of that word, and we pray, Lord, that you would work it in our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we would be all the more and better equipped for the life of service and thankfulness. We ask all this only by grace and in the name of your Son, our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who together with you and the Holy Spirit receives all glory and honor forevermore. Amen. Opportunity is given to you for the collection, and if memory serves me right, that is for Fairhaven. Following upon the collection, we will be singing from Psalm 68, the verses 2 and 3. But let the just with joyful voice in God's victorious might rejoice after the collection. Our text this afternoon you will find in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 12. We're still in the second year of the ministry of Ezekiel to the captives in Babylon. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear, but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity, and go into captivity by day in their sight. You shall go from your place into captivity to another place in their sight. It may be that they will consider, though they are a rebellious house. By day you shall bring out your belongings in their sight, as though going into captivity, and at evening you shall go in their sight, like those who go into captivity. Dig through the wall in their sight, and carry your belongings out through it. In their sight you shall bear them on your shoulders, and carry them out at twilight. You shall cover your face, so that you cannot see the ground, for I have made you a sign to the house of Israel." So I did as I was commanded. I brought out my belongings by day as though going into captivity, and at evening I dug through the wall with my hand. I brought them out at twilight, and I bore them on my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, 'What are you doing?' Say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, this burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are among them. Say, I am a sign to you. As I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall be carried away into captivity. And the prince who is among them shall bear his belongings on his shoulder at twilight and go out. They shall dig through the wall to carry them out through it. He shall cover his face so that he cannot see the ground with his eyes. I will also spread my net over him, and he shall be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. I will scatter to every wind all who are around him to help him, and all his troops, and I will draw out the sword after them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord, when I scatter them among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. But I will spare a few of their men from the sword, from famine, and from pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the Gentiles wherever they go. Then they shall know that I am the Lord." Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, eat your bread with quaking, and drink your water with trembling and anxiety. And say to the people of the land, 'Thus says the Lord God to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dread, so that her land may be emptied of all who are in it because of the violence of all those who dwell in it. Then the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall become desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, What is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says, the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, the days are at hand and the fulfillment of every vision. For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, look. The house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed any more, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. Let us respond by singing from Psalm 141. We'll be singing the verses 1, 2, 7, and 8. If you have a look at the words of verse 1 with me, they are very interesting and applicable. In the second half of verse 1, we read, O let my prayer like incense be, my lifted hands like incense. Evening offerings. We remember, of course, that Israel really only could effectively pray to the Lord when a sacrifice was taking place. Sacrifice gave you the ability to pray. Later, when Jerusalem and her temple was destroyed, how could you pray? And how can Orthodox Jews pray today? They refer back to this psalm verse. They ask the Lord to allow their prayer to be light. Sacrifice. We'll be singing the verses 1, 2, 7, and 8. It is a prayer psalm, so as we're able, we'll sing that standing. Let us further read in Scripture from 2 Kings, chapter 25. What actually took place only a few years after the prophecy of Ezekiel 12. Two Kings 25, we'll read the first 10 verses. Now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, that is the reign of King Zedekiah, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it. And they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of the war fled at night by way of the gate between two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city. And the king went by the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and they pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon. In the 5th month, on the 7th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great, he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. Our text, as stated, is taken this afternoon from Ezekiel chapter 12. Following upon the preaching of God's word, we'll be singing from Psalm 137, the verses 1 and 2. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you're by now well aware, Ezekiel and many other wealthy people in Jerusalem have been taken into exile already some 5 years before Ezekiel was called by the Lord to be a prophet. And the reason that God had called Ezekiel was because those people who had been taken into exile had become stubborn. They were no longer able to see with their eyes what God had prophesied. They were no longer able to hear rightly the words of the prophets. And this is because they were focused on their own material possessions. They were the wealthy people, and they desired to go back to Jerusalem to reclaim their great houses, to reclaim their wealth. They were all the more upset because they had heard, of course, that after they had been exiled, the people in Jerusalem had said, God has given us your possessions. You're done for. And they would rather listen to their own false prophets who told them that within a short time, maybe only a couple of years, they'd be allowed to go back and to reclaim what they had left behind. And so in this situation, God called Ezekiel. And God called Ezekiel to prophesy to this stubborn people, not with words, but with actions. And you recall how in the first year of his ministry, he was told by the Lord to build a model city of Jerusalem and to besiege it as a sign that the Lord would also be destroying Jerusalem and everything in it. And in the second year, you remember, right when he was sitting in his house before the elders of the exiled community, the Lord transported him in visions all the way to Jerusalem, and how he saw what was going on there, how things had changed in the city since the 6 years they'd now been in exile. And how the people of Jerusalem had now concluded that even God, the Lord, had left them and abandoned them. And they had turned to worshiping idols and false gods, whether of Egypt or of Babylon or of the land itself, the Baals. And Ezekiel had seen the wrath of the Lord against that idolatry. How he had prophesied to send destroying angels against the city, while only a faithful few, those who mourned for the loss of true worship, they were sealed to be delivered, sealed that they might not die when the armies were sent against them. In this same second year of Ezekiel's ministry, the signs that the Lord gives to Ezekiel in our text this afternoon appear. And I preach to you this afternoon two signs for a rebellious house. We will see, firstly, the signs are a drama of captivity. And secondly, we will see the rebellion, proverbs of unbelief. So two signs are given to Ezekiel, and we see also two proverbs of unbelief among the exiled community. Now, brothers and sisters, the rebellion of this community is characterized in verse 2 of our text this afternoon. God says, "Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house." And he says, "This house has eyes to see, but does not see. Ears to hear, but does not hear. For they are a rebellious house." Now, it's important to note that when God says, these people have got eyes, they've got ears, but they're not seeing and they're not hearing, does not necessarily mean that they have total unbelief. After all, if you're prepared to listen to a false prophet who says he is a prophet of Yahweh, of the covenant God, but he's given you a message that you like, it doesn't mean that you have abandoned the Lord entirely. It just means that you're actually not really any longer prepared to have your ears and eyes open to the true message of the Lord that he is speaking to you. Yes, you're still going through the motions of being God's covenant community. But no, you want to hear the message that you like. How come then that their eyes were so blinded and their ears so stopped up that they were not able to hear what a true prophet, Ezekiel, was trying to communicate to them from the Lord himself? Well, I think we can see one of the main things, brothers and sisters, is the attachment of these previously wealthy people to their material possessions. They had become so attached to them that they did not wish to give them up. And any hope that they could get them back, that was what they clung to. And you see, in that, for them, these possessions had taken such a hold on their thinking that they had become the foundation upon or the filter through which they read and hear God's word. And I think if we're honest, we could all see, humanly speaking, how that can happen. You know, material possessions are something that you usually have to work hard for, and for a long time. And because you've put all that effort in and finally gained what you think you like, it's hard to give up. And yet we all need to be prepared for the sake of God's kingdom to give up everything in this life if He asks us to. Because there is nothing, nothing more important than that eternal inheritance that He gives us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I think we all recall the meeting between Jesus Christ and the rich young ruler who wanted to follow Jesus, who was truly a believer. And yet when Jesus asked him to literally follow him and to give up all his possessions for the poor, that man found that a very hard ask. Well, because of this unbelief, this unwillingness to see what God is really doing for Israel at this time, God gets his prophet Ezekiel, not in the first place to speak words. They're not going to listen to words. He gets Ezekiel to speak signs, action, drama in front of their eyes. It began in the first year with that model siege. And now it's continuing. As Israel, as Ezekiel, and before the eyes of all, is to enact once again going out into captivity. You see here that the Lord still desires to communicate with his people, but this rebelliousness in them requires a sign in the first place. And only when Ezekiel has acted out a drama and the people are inquisitive enough to ask, well, why on earth are you doing this? That Ezekiel is allowed to explain to them what it means. Now think about that. They first get a sign, and then they get the word of explanation. That's the ordering for a rebellious house. It's quite different to what we had this morning, is it not? For we too get a sign from our Lord Jesus Christ. The sign, for example, of the sacrament of Lord's Supper. That's also a sign. And we get to eat that bread, and we get to drink the wine, and to reflect upon the fact that Jesus Christ has died for our sins. But it's exactly the reverse order. It's not sacrament and word. It is deliberately word reinforced by sacrament. Here, because of the rebelliousness, it's the opposite way around. Well, let's look at the signs that Ezekiel had to give to this people. In broad daylight, he's to pack his belongings into a shoulder bag. In other words, he's to make a choice. He's to do things as if he's going to go into exile. And you know, when you go into exile from Israel into Babylon, you have got to walk hundreds of kilometers. You are not going to take anything heavy. So you make a choice out of your possessions, and you take only what you can carry for all that way into one shoulder bag that you are going to take with you. Just try and imagine what you might take yourself. Out of all the possessions you have, you're allowed to take one shoulder bag, and they're going to be your possessions for the rest of your foreseeable future. What would you be taking? Your teddy, perhaps. Your laptop, you won't have power. In those days, you're not going to be taking any books either. Clay tablets weigh far too much. You know, the rabbis of old considered this question too. What would you take? They came up with the answer, three things. You take a skin to hold flour that'll double up as your pillow. You take a mat for sitting during the day and for sleeping on at night. And you take a bowl from which you'll be able to eat your food and drink your water. Those three things. Don't forget, brothers and sisters, as Ezekiel is enacting this, that every single person watching him is probably reflecting on what they went through only 7 years earlier when they were taken into exile from Jerusalem into the region of Babylon. 7 years ago. And Ezekiel is enacting this all over again. He digs through the wall by hand at night, walls